Yeah, let's once again turn into our Bibles in the book of John. The book of John and chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'm reading the first 9 verses. The word says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Let's pray. Our heavenly God, the most holy one, creator of the heavens, the seas, the earth, and everything in them, whether seen or not seen, all powers and authorities, all principalities and rulers were created by you, and they are all under you. Even Lucifer, they are general. They are all your creatures, and they all obey your commands and orders. We lift your name above all, and we pray that you be with us and use me as we go into your word. I don't know how to expound it. I don't understand it myself, but I rely on you, O Holy Spirit, to help me and teach us this truth using me as a vessel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, we continue our series in the I Am statements of Jesus. Today we are covering the third, after looking at the first one, that was the bread of life, and the second one, I am the light of the world. Today we are covering the third one, which is I am the door. This week is coming immediately after Jesus Christ had told about him being the light of the world in chapter 8. In chapter 8, you know, he talked about the light, and you know, he says that the eyes are the light of the body, because it's through the eyes that the body knows where to go, what to touch, and what to do. So someone, a blind person, he lives in darkness. Yeah, so he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will never walk in darkness." Yeah, so you'll be understanding things. So, spiritual light, spiritual darkness, just was talking about. Then we come to chapter 9, from chapter 8, where Christ was teaching about light. In chapter 9, we find the story of this blind beggar. The guy who was born blind, and was begging people to help him. And Jesus Christ came, his disciples asked him, "Lord, who sinned? Is it this beggar or his parents, for him to be born like that?" And just said, "No, none of them sinned, not the blind person, not the parents, but God wanted this to be like this for his own glory." And then after that, he spat on the ground and gave some
mud, he put on his eyes. I said, oh, you go and wash in in Siloam. He went and he saw. And he started really moving up and down, seeing. People knew him because he was born blind, and now he was a mature person. He was a big person. I don't know which age, but he was a big person. And so people were familiar with him. They knew him as a blind person beggar. But when they see now, they see him walking, seeing, they're like, this guy, isn't the other beggar who always beg on the streets, blind? Some said, no, he looks like him so much. I'm fine, Anna. And others said, he's the one. So they were just there. He looks like him. I'm fine. No, he's the one. Then the guy came and said, no, I'm the one. So as they were now discussing like that, they took him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the church leaders of the Jews. And the Pharisees also started asking him questions. Who did this? Remember, it was Sabbath day when Jesus Christ healed him. When it was Sabbath day, when no one was allowed to do anything like that. So in other words, according to these Pharisees, Jesus Christ had broken the law. So they asked him many questions, and okay, to cut the long story short, the guy was rejected. The guy was rejected, he was not accepted because he was giving Jesus glory. I said, no, you might say this and that against him, but me, I know that man saved me. He gave me sight. Okay? So it's a long story. Now, from there, let me read this just before we go to chapter 10. Yeah, so these guys were blind people. So we know that. Sorry, okay. Let me come to verses in chapter 9, verses, let me read from verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. So you see, the story is turning around seeing or being blind. So this is just living in light or in darkness. If you see, if you have sight, then you are living in light. If you are blind, then you are living in darkness. When you close your eyes, you see darkness. So now, they did not understand the teaching of Jesus Christ about light, being light. And then we come to chapter 10. Chapter 10 combines two of our I am statements. In this very passage, Jesus Christ used two I ams. I am the door, I am the good shepherd. So, the explanations in this sermon will be the same with next Sunday's sermon, because you and I are going to be so he spoke these things in the same situation, but today I just want to stop at I am the door. Then you'll understand this passage better next week when we'll be looking at I am the good shepherd. So Jesus Christ comes in chapter 10 verse 1. He says, truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So he's a robber. But he who enters by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls him his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, that's the end of that parable. This figure of speech, it's figure of speech, Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Many times, Jesus Christ could tell them things and people could not understand what is he talking about. And Jesus needed to explain himself further. So that's why now in verse 7, Jesus Christ wants to re-explain himself so that people can understand what he was meaning. And in verse 7 he says, so Jesus again said to them, after telling them that, then he comes back because he wants them to understand. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, remember what we always tell you about these words, truly, truly. It's like swearing before God. God does not swear. But, human beings, although God does not want us to swear, but many do swear to try to show to their audience that they are very serious. I'm not joking. So, when we see God uses these words truly, truly twice, it means I am not kidding. This is very serious. This is very true. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So now as I told you, you'll understand better this next week when we'll be explaining I am the good shepherd. Because there, I'm going to describe to you the sheepfold, the chiyumba chidi, the changing where they sleep. Yeah, so it has a door. It has a door, and all the sheep go into the sheepfold through that door, and they get out again through the same door. Yeah, so now, Jesus Christ says, I am the door. And remember, this is the sheepfold. Echiumbe chendiga, where you find only sheep. Remember in the Bible, they bring two animals to stand in representation of two different people. The saved and the non-saved. The people of heaven and the people of hell. So, the Christians are called sheep in the Bible, and the non-Christians are called gods. So in this sheepfold, there are no gods. This is not deceivable. This is just where they keep sheep. And when they are talking of sheep, they are talking about true born-again Christians. That the children of God will be going into glory to reign with him forever. Gods are not here. So now, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Without me, the sheep cannot go anywhere. Then he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So now, you guys know the door. I don't need to explain much that to you. And you know the use of the door. The door plays many roles. We know that a door gives access to something. It's an entrance to something, to a house, to what, to what. So it's an entrance, as you see there. So the door also serves to protect those who have entered the house or a building. Just try to imagine yourself for yourselves. And that's why almost every day I hear your mother call someone, or maybe Gloria, maybe who. Have you locked the door? Because to close the door and to lock the door are two different things. Like there, the door is closed. It is closed. But it is not locked. But I hear almost every night, almost, your mother asking someone, have you locked the door? In other words, even if the door is closed, she is not comfortable of her security. It has to be both closed and locked. Yeah. So in other words, the door also serves as protection to people who have entered the building where it covers. So Jesus Christ really gave himself very good imageries. So he says, I am the door. So now, if the door is an entrance to some building, to something, woingirira kugenda awantu. So Jesus Christ calling himself the door. What was he meaning? What did he want to take? Is the door to what? We'll come to that. Is the door to something? Or would you watch into Jindi, which we want to know later? Then he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, here, you know, many, many, many people came before Jesus Christ. Many. Moses came before Jesus Christ. Abraham was there. All the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, name them. John the Baptist came before Jesus. And some people said, what does he mean? Because he says all. So all these were just vafere, robbers and thieves. No, Jesus Christ was not meaning those, because these good prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ talked well about them. If you read the Gospels well, he was quoting from them. If he was meaning them or talking about these OT prophets, then he could not be quoting from them. But here, he was talking about other people, because you know, there are some people who call themselves into ministry. The Moses, John the Baptist, the Old Testament prophets, God called them. God sent them to go and do what they were doing. But there are other people who called themselves. God did not call them, did not send them, but they sent themselves. Those are the people Jesus Christ was talking about. And let me just show you something here in Acts. There are two guys who appeared in Acts, and they gathered many people, many, wanting to be there. Maybe they are leaders, they are everything. One was called Theudas and another was called Judas. Let's go quickly there and we read together. Acts chapter 5. So that you see these two guys. Acts chapter 5. Let us read 36, verse 36 and 37. Acts, because I have a two men. 5, 36 and 37. The Bible says, for before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. And a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. 37. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So you see, these two guys are just an example of what Jesus Christ would be talking about. Theudas and Judas, they came famous, gathering people around them, telling people that they are somebody. Just as in this country, and many other countries of the world, or all other countries of the world, we have people like these who come, call themselves or send themselves into ministry, and they count them, they call themselves somebodies. We have pastors here with a big following. You see, Theudas and Judas had followings. Many people followed them. So don't say, why is our church small? We have only a few people in it. They call themselves somebodies, and not only themselves, they've even made the government, our president and minister, to think that they are somebodies because they are rich, they have this and that. Yeah, so this is an example of this, but more especially, the old people who are thieves, who came before Jesus Christ, who are thieves and robbers, more especially, Christ was referring to the scribe and the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders. More especially, because it's the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of today, like pastors, the so-called bishops, the so-called prophets, the so-called what? So the religious leaders, these are the ones Jesus Christ was talking about, because they are the ones who wanted to show themselves as they were ready to do anything to people. So Jesus Christ says, all who came before me
Whoever came before me and was not sent by God, scribes and Pharisees are part of them, Theudas and Judas are part of them. Whoever came before me and was not sent by God, all those are thieves and robbers. Now, if you don't know English well, you might think that a thief and a robber are the same. I don't know what Luganda says. Even Swahili, I don't know what you can say. Mwizi na mwizi. I don't know. But a thief is different from a robber. Okay? A thief is someone who steals another person's property, one, secretly, and two, without using force or violence. That's a thief. He comes, he steals your pen, your money, your book, your shoe, secretly. Yekwese is hiding. He does not want anyone to see him. One, he does it secretly. Two, he does not use force or violence. While a robber is someone who steals another person's property openly, just like in the regime of Idi Amin, especially of Obote too. We could be meeting here in our house and soldiers that come with their guns, open the door and, okay, give money, give this TV, give whatever you have. That is robbery. Because they don't need night time, Tebeta Gachiro. They enter during day openly, and they take whatever they take by force, by violence. While a thief hides, he does whatever he does secretly, and he does not use violence. So we see these people in our church leaders, even today in Uganda. Many church leaders, many pastors, many so-called what are thieves and robbers. Thieves are these pastors who steal money from their flock secretly and without violence. That Bakuka say. We had a pastor in Namasuba many years ago. This guy, every after he has preached, he could now leave the pulpit, goes in front of the pulpit and starts asking for love offering. So now it's time for you guys to give me love offering. So he just stretches his two hands like this. People leave their seats to come and put money into his hands, and he puts in pocket. Where they are full, he puts in his pockets. Then, so, you know, now this one is doing it openly and by force, because he could say, you guys, don't you want to come and give me love offering? You mean only these who have come are enough? David, you have not come. So you see, this is violence. This is force. Violence. Because David, after mentioning his name in church, he will feel ashamed. Again, that's why. So and he will stand up to come and put whatever he puts in my hands, but he did not like it. You've used the force. So you are doing it in church worship service. That is, you are doing it openly. That's robbery. I was just giving you an example of robbery. While others do it secretly, they steal money and say, come and give to God. This money is not mine. Does not belong to me. This is for God. If you want blessing, give God. Build God's house. They do things secretly without using force. And people bring money, and for them they go and buy cars and what. So Jesus Christ is calling all of those who came before him that God does not send thieves and robbers. Not only those who came before Jesus Christ, even we who came after him. If one, you are not sent by God. Two, if you did not, God did not send you, and you did not enter ministry through the door, which is Christ. You need to enter Christ first. osoka no ingira Kristo. You enter Christ. You become true born again. Only then you can do ministry. Otherwise, if you have not entered Christ and you are doing ministry, you entered through another way. You did not enter ministry through the door. So it says, okay, those are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. What does he mean? The sheep did not listen to them. In Uganda, especially in our capital city, Kampala, we have many thieves and robbers who are leading churches. We have them, but we have many following. Then you can say, Jesus, what do you mean? The sheep did not follow them, but they are following them every single day. Those are not sheep. They're not the sheep. Those are goats. Even the sheep that are following them, time will come, they'll open, their eyes will open and say, I'm in the wrong place. As we see many sheep leaving them. Alex, who is praying with us, Jade, he was in one of the churches, one of the churches of these robbers in town. But the way he left that big and rich church to this small church, you cannot tell. Those are the makings of God himself. So those who follow them are gods. Jesus Christ did not say animals, but animals did not follow them. No, animals followed them. Gods followed them. Jesus Christ is very clear here. He says, but the sheep, only the sheep, Endiga, did not follow them. Why? Because they don't know their voices. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And now in verse 9 he repeats. He says, guys, I am serious. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, still he has not told us to enter what? He's still leaving us there. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So you see now, okay, to go in and out. Okay, let me first go before in and out. He says, I am the door. Jesus Christ is the door to what? Or the door of what? Obviously of the kingdom of God. He is the door of the kingdom of God. And again here, Jesus Christ is telling us plainly, without chewing his words, that there are not two. He is the only one who is the door. Trying to refute even some of the modern preachers who try to teach or to preach universalism, that someone might be in his own religion but eventually go to heaven. You might be a Buddha, you don't need to change to Christianity. You might be a Muslim, you don't need to change to be a Christian. You might be a traditionalist, Mama Fina, you don't need to change Christianity, but just do what God wants you to do, your joy, where you are, and you'll find yourself in heaven. No. Jesus Christ is saying that's a very wrong teaching. It is Christ, because in Islam, you'll not know Christ. In traditionalism, African traditional religion, you will not know Christ. Our ancestors are everything. In Buddha, in Hindu, in Shinto, in all these, you will not know Christ. But then you go to heaven to do what? Jesus Christ says, it is only me. It's only through me that people can access my Father. It's only through me that people will enter glory, the kingdom of God. If anyone enters by me, so if anyone enters ministry by me, but more especially the kingdom of God, salvation. If you enter salvation through Christ, then what will happen? This person will be saved. That's one. If you go through Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And will go in and out
and find pasture. So now, to go in and out does not mean that we'll be going into salvation and again out of salvation, into salvation freely because we're in Christ. No. The in and out, he was just, remember, he gave them an imagery, a chokulavirako, cheyo. He gave them an imagery of Palestine, how this door to the sheepfold, when the shepherd is with his sheep, they know him, they enjoy themselves before him, so they enter and come out of that door freely. So me, I understand just here that if you get salvation through Christ, you'll have freedom. So if you can go out, get out of that door and come in the way you want, anytime you want, you go out, anytime you want, that's freedom. That is freedom. So that's what he's talking. If I'm the door, if anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and therefore will be free. If whoever is not saved is not free. No one should deceive you. Don't even allow your own mind to deceive you that you are free. Even if you bathe yourself, you cook any type of food you like for yourself and you eat it, you enjoy it, you sleep, you do whatever, you drive your cars, you do everything, you are not free. It's only those who went through the door, through Christ, who will enjoy this freedom forever. So therefore, the question is, have you entered the door? Because Jesus is the door to the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is also like salvation. Salvation is in three tenses. We were saved. Sorry, we are saved. We are saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. Twarokoka, tulimkulokolewa, tulirokoka. So also here, the kingdom of God has already come. It's with us here, and yet, atenga, the kingdom of God is to come. It's here with us, but also it's coming. So now, if you are in Jesus Christ now, that means you've already gone through the door and you are inside the kingdom. What we are just waiting for is either you die in Christ, or he comes when you're still alive and he takes you to go now into glory. But if you have not entered the door now in this life, then you are outside the kingdom. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I'm the bread of life. Come and feed from me, you'll not feel hungry again. I am the light of the world. Come to me, you'll never walk in darkness again. Darkness of what? Even darkness of decisions. What should I do? Should I pass here? The Spirit of Christ will give you life, and I'll pass here for your good, for your safety. And now he says, I am the door. Come and enter. Muje muingire. Come and enter. Yesterday I was telling you, my children, and I was pleading with you not to be foolish to that extent that you want to throw your eternal life, you're in heaven because of an individual, because of your father, because of your mother. Those are the ones who call themselves born again. Look at how they are behaving. I cannot join that. No, please. Were you born with them? As we sit here, all of us, how many we are, everyone was born in for her own day. And everyone will die alone. And everyone will stand alone before the judgment seat of God. So never, never try to tamper, to play around with your eternity because your father is a pastor and maybe you saw him do something like this that does not please you. Those are the pastors. Those are the word. So therefore, I'll not also join Christ because look at what a pastor is doing. My friend, Let that pastor do that. If he does not repent, he will go to hell and you go to heaven. Don't, please, don't you. Because is it Christ, is it Jesus Christ who's doing what you don't like? So you say, now, look at the Christ they're pointing me to, what he's doing, so I cannot join him. Yeah, so please, enter the door. The door is still open. Do you remember the door of the Noah's Ark? Just remember, my friends, oh my God, the door of Noah's Ark, it was open. And Noah was crying, calling people, come and enter. Come and enter. That's what we are doing, we preachers of this generation, of this time. Ours, our role, our task is to call you people. My neighbors, my wife, my children, my parents, please come and enter. It is still open. But time came when that door was locked by Noah. Noah did not lock the door. We, the preachers of today, we don't have power to lock that door. We don't know even when it will be locked. But time is coming very soon when this door to the kingdom, to the glorious kingdom of God will be locked. And even if you did what, you cannot go through that door again. You might reach there and knock, please, I'm ready now. But it will be too late. The door is still open. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am the door, guys. You cannot get life elsewhere if you want to ignore Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the door. Think twice. Be praying for yourself so that you enter that door. What occupies your mind? What occupies the things you do? Is it the things of Christ? May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word you've shared with us this morning. The truth that you and you alone are the door that takes people into true salvation, that takes people into the kingdom of the Father, the glorious kingdom of yours. Lord, we pray, as we always pray, for our children, our family members, our relatives, our friends, neighbors, colleagues, that, Lord, those who have not entered through that door yet, that, Lord, you'll have mercy upon them. Bring them, let them enter when this door is still open. Time will come when the door will be closed, and no one can go through it again. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.